Imagine for a second that you want to take down a massive, entrenched financial giant.
Right, one of those legacy firms that's been around for decades.
Exactly. We're talking billions of dollars under management, floors and floors of highly paid analysts.
Yeah, a real Goliath.
And normally, if you wanted to compete with an operation like that, you'd assume you need like a decade, right? A mountain of capital, an absolute army of Ivy League grads just to get a foot in the
Oh,
door.
absolutely. The barrier to entry is notoriously high.
But what if you could bypass all of that infrastructure? Like, what if you could legitimately displace that legacy giant, not in a decade, but in just 6 months,
Right.
and with a team of exactly five people?
I mean, on the surface, proposing that a five-person team could unseat a billion-dollar legacy firm, it sounds like a pitch for a heist movie, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But when we look at the actual mechanics of how this displacement functions, it becomes a very sobering reality check for any incumbent that's just sitting comfortably at the top of their industry.
And that is exactly the mission of our deep dive today. So we are unpacking a really fascinating thought experiment, published in July 2026 by Audit Frontier Partners.
Yeah, authored by Doris Odedechenga.
Right. The document is titled AI Subsumption Series, The Bypasser, and it is effectively this step-by-step, completely hypothetical playbook for how an AI-native startup could just entirely pull the rug out from under a legacy private equity or, venture capital fund manager.
It's a brilliant piece of writing.
Okay, let's unpack this, because while this scenario is set in the world of high finance, I mean, it's really a masterclass in how AI is fundamentally changing the speed of business competition literally everywhere.
Yeah, and the core thesis here, it really moves past the standard argument you hear, right? The one that technology is just going to replace human workers.
Right, the whole AI is coming for your job thing.
Exactly. Achenga is outlining something much deeper. She's showing how technology replaces entire institutional structures.
Wow.
So we are not talking about an AI doing a junior analyst job slightly faster. We're talking about an AI rendering the entire department, the whole architectural structure of the firm, completely obsolete.
Okay, before we get into the actual 6 month playbook, I feel like you, the listener, need to understand the battlefield here and the players involved.
Yeah, that context is crucial.
So if you have a 401k, right, or a pension, or even if you've ever donated to a university endowment, you are actually connected to this ecosystem.
You're part of the money machine.
Right. You are part of the capital provided by what the industry calls limited partners or LPs.
Yep.
And these LPs, they give their massive tools of capital to general partners or GPs.
And those GPs are the entrenched legacy fund managers we were just talking about.
Exactly. They do the investing, they make the deals, and they charge pretty hefty fees for managing your money.
Right. And into this dynamic steps our hypothetical five-person startup, which the text refers to as the Bypasser.
The Bypasser. I love that name.
It fits perfectly. And their strategy relies entirely on this concept Audit Frontier Partners calls subsumption.
Subsumption. Okay, break that down for us.
So subsumption is a very specific mechanism. It happens when AI absorbs the actual work a structure was built to do.
Like it just eats the process.
Exactly. This is a crucial distinction. The AI is not assisting a traditional back office.
Right.
It's absorbing the administration, the data gathering, the reporting cycles, until the back office itself is simply no longer required to exist.
It's like how smartphones disrupted photography,
Oh,
right?
that's a great way to look at it.
Like they didn't try to build a better, faster photo processing kiosk for film developers. They just subsumed the entire process of photography into, a single piece of glass in your pocket.
Right.
The traditional camera store wasn't really beaten at their own game. The whole game was just bypassed.
Exactly. The camera store was optimizing a process that the new technology made entirely irrelevant. And the incumbent GP operate the exact same way. A legacy fund manager, they learn primarily from their own linear experience, right?
What do you mean by linear?
Well, they raise a fund, they deploy that capital over a decade, they see what deals work, and then they slowly adjust. Their learning cycle is totally constrained to their own portfolio over this long 10-year horizon.
Got it. So they only learn from their own mistake.
Precisely. The bypasser, however, uses AI to learn laterally.
Okay.
It digests the entire industry's public actions, their mistakes, the market shifts,
Yeah.
and it does all of this in a matter of months, not a decade.
That's wild. So how does a five-person team actually initiate this? I mean, they don't just sit in a room trying to outsmart the legacy firm's financial models, do they?
No, not at all. They start by doing something incredibly simple. They just listen to the giant's frustrated customers.
The LPs.
Exactly. In the private capital world, LPs are constantly voicing their frustrations in public.
Right. I mean, you see it all the time. They complain on conference panels, industry surveys, long LinkedIn posts, Q&A sessions at annual meetings.
Yeah, the data is everywhere. And the bypasser captures this data using two distinct modes, according to the paper.
Okay.
The first is manual, which the text calls mode one, pasted in.
Literally just copy pasting.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
A human operator takes transcripts from industry panels or PDFs of investor surveys, webinar logs, and manually feeds them into an AI agent with this one single recurring prompt.
It is.
What keeps repeating?
Oh, that's so smart. Just looking for the common thread.
Right. And then the second method is autonomous, called mode two, let it scan.
Let it stand. Okay.
Here, the AI agent is configured to actively monitor those public sources in real time. So it's watching the podcast, reading the industry reports, and just flagging friction points as they appear in the wild.
Okay, wait. I have to push back on the underlying premise here just a little bit. If these incredibly powerful LPs, I mean, we're talking about people managing billions of dollars, if they're constantly complaining in public, why haven't the legacy GPs fixed these problems?
It's a fair question.
Like, it seems absurd that an established firm would just be deaf to the people funding them.
Well, they aren't ignoring the LPs, exactly. They're miscategorizing the information.
Yeah. How so?
Legacy GPs hear these complaints.
Right.
Right. But they process them as, like, ambient sentiment.
Just noise.
Yeah, just the background noise of doing business. It's something for the PR department to handle, or maybe you smooth it over with some relationship building over golf.
Right, right.
But the bypasser completely shifts this posture. They treat that exact same public chatter as telemetry.
Telemetry, like data from a rocket.
Exactly. To the bypasser, it's a literal prioritized to-do list of exactly what to build.
So they take this telemetry and specific complaints, you know, they inevitably rise to the top. Like, for instance, LPs always complain that the management fees are too high.
Always. And a legacy GP, they'll defend a 2% fee by pointing to their massive overhead. You know, they say, look at our floors of analysts, our compliance officers, our accountants.
Right, they have to pay those salaries.
But the bypasser looks at that defense and simply automates the overhead end to end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. By absorbing that back office labor, the bypasser operates at a fraction of the cost. And those savings are just immediately passed to the LP in the form of drastically cheaper fees.
Okay, but cheaper fees don't really matter if the LPs are flying blind, right? Because the next massive friction point Achenga highlights is this agonizing wait for data.
Oh, the reporting lag, yes.
Yeah. LPs complain that their performance reports arrive, like, months late.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you've ever waited on quarterly reports at your own job, you know how paralyzing that information gap can be.
It's terrible. And the legacy GP, they rely on this highly manual quarterly reporting cycle. You know, drafting, human review, legal sign-off, distribution.
So much red tape.
Endless. But the AI just subsumes this entire cycle. The built response is a system where reports assemble themselves dynamically as the raw data arrives.
So it's instant.
It's real time.
Mm.
Suddenly the incumbent standard, you know, quarterly PDF looks entirely inadequate. The bypasser provides a live LP dashboard.
Which basically frames the legacy GP's traditional delay as like a choice to obscure information.
Precisely. Visibility just becomes the new default.
And that directly addresses another major LP complaint, which is just the general opacity of the market. But what about actually finding the investments?
Forcing deals.
Yeah. LPs constantly complain that every legacy fund is just chasing the exact same deals. So if a five-person startup doesn't have an army of analysts, how on earth are they finding unique opportunities?
Well, legacy GPs rely heavily on banker-led sourcing.
Okay.
So if an investment bank is shopping a company around, every GP sees the exact same pitch deck at the exact same time.
Which means it's super crowded.
Very. But the bypasser's AI subsumes this by ingesting unconventional data streams way before the bankers even get involved.
Like what kind of data streams?
It machine reads hiring surges, obscure corporate filings, municipal permits, even customer sentiment signals across the web.
Wow.
Yeah, so it spots a promising company based on its actual operational footprint before the company is officially on the market.
So the bypasser is offering LPs the one asset they cannot buy anywhere else, which is genuinely unique, pre-market deal flow.
Exactly.
Okay, but then when it comes to actually improving those companies, once they buy them, LPs are so tired of generic value creation. Like, they hear the same consulting playbook from every single fund.
We're going to optimize your synergies, right?
Yes. But how does an AI benchmark an intervention better than, you know, a seasoned human consultant?
Well, a human consultant relies heavily on their intuition and, frankly, a pretty limited personal track record. The AI, on the other hand, it ingests a decade of public operational data across thousands of companies. It can mathematically correlate specific strategic moves like, say, changing a pricing tier or restructuring a supply chain with actual margin improvements across the entire industry.
Oh, I see.
So when the bypasser proposes a strategy, it isn't based on a gut feeling. It's backed by verifiable algorithmic benchmarking.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the defining difference here is action versus rhetoric, right?
Yeah.
The bypasser isn't out there launching a PR campaign promising to do better. Every single complaint is met with a hard-built functional answer.
They just built the patch.
Right. But having the blueprint is one thing.
Yeah.
Actually standing up a highly regulated, highly complex financial firm with only 5 people, I mean, that seems impossible. You don't just spin up a private equity fund in your garage.
You definitely don't.
Yeah.
But you also don't build the legal and operational plumbing from scratch either.
Okay, so how do they do it?
The bypasser employs this hyper-lean launch strategy in Delaware, typically. They register the firm using standardized legal templates.
Right.
But the operational stack is where the real efficiency kicks in. Instead of hiring 30 people for back office accounting, compliance, and investor reporting, they just assemble established fund infrastructure platforms.
Right. Let's clarify some of the terminology the source uses here, just to be sure. Achenga mentions that these platforms handle things like cap tables and SPV formations.
Yep.
For anyone outside of venture capital, a cap table is really just a ledger showing who owns what percentage of a company.
Exactly.
And an SPV, or special purpose vehicle, is essentially a cop-up legal entity created to make one specific investment.
Spot on. And by outsourcing those standardized functions to existing software platforms, the infrastructure is basically plug and play.
Oh, wow.
So the 5-person team doesn't spend a single minute worrying about the mechanics of a wire transfer or, you know, how an SPV is legally structured.
It's kind of like buying a high-end prefab modular home.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah. Like, you aren't out there pouring the concrete foundation yourself. You aren't laying the pipes or pulling electrical wire.
Right.
You just buy the pre-built, structurally sound foundation, and you focus entirely on hiring a genius interior designer to make the living space incredible.
That's exactly it. Here, the existing platforms are the concrete and the pipes, and the custom AI layer is the interior designer.
Right.
And that allows the 5 founders to focus all their human capital on the areas that actually differentiate them. You know, fine-tuning the AI for sourcing, doing due diligence, and communicating with the LPs.
Which is the only way a 5-person team can legally and functionally operate a fund of this magnitude.
Exactly. This modular approach is key.
So within like a few months, this tiny team has a fully functional, legally compliant, AI-driven firm.
Yep.
Which leads to, honestly, the boldest move of the entire thought experiment, because they don't go look for early adopter tech enthusiast investors.
No, they don't.
They go directly into the boardrooms of the legacy GP's very own LPs, the exact same people they were just listening to.
What's fascinating here is the pitch they deliver. It's devastatingly simple.
Oh, yeah.
They just tell the LPs, we kept what your current managers do well. We removed everything you have been complaining about for the last 5 years.
Ooh. The contrast between the two models is just stark. I mean, the legacy route takes 10 years, right?
Easily.
A GP raises a fund, does deals, slowly builds a track record, makes mistakes, hears complaints, and maybe, just maybe, slowly improves for the next fund.
Right. And every lesson learned is paid for with their own time and their investors' money.
But the bypasser's route takes 6 months. They skip inventing a new investment thesis. They just read the industry's complaints.
Yeah.
They bypass building a 10-year track record and go straight to pitching the structural patch. I mean, the lessons they learned were paid for by the legacy fund's mistakes.
Exactly. The bypasser enters the market entirely through the blind spots created by the incumbent's really slow learning cycle.
Wait, okay. I have a major strategic question here.
Let's hear.
If this bypasser team has built this incredible AI system that can automate back offices and source unique deals, why risk starting a competing fund at all? Like, wouldn't it be immensely safer and probably highly profitable to simply operate as a B2B software vendor? Why not just walk into the massive legacy GP and say, hey, buy our software licensing and we'll make your firm 50% more efficient?
That is the most critical insight in Achenga's entire paper. It really comes down to institutional architecture.
Okay, explain that.
If you try to sell this technology to an incumbent, you have to understand the psychology and the structural constraints of the firm you're pitching to.
Right.
Incumbents are not constrained by a lack of intelligence. I mean, they are staffed by brilliant people.
Obviously.
They are constrained by their internal architecture.
So you're saying the way the firm is legally and structurally built actively prevents them from using the AI?
Exactly. Consider the human politics and the risk structures involved. Legacy GPs operate as partnerships, and partnerships optimize for consensus, not speed.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, to change their operating model, the proposal has to pass through an investment committee and multiple partners who all have totally different risk appetites and varying years left until retirement.
So it's the difference between trying to change the fundamental laws of a massive bureaucratic parliament versus operating as a five-person startup where you can just make a decision over coffee.
Precisely. In the parliament, you have vetoes, subcommittees, endless debates,
Right.
and you have to add to that the sunk cost fallacy and personal career risk.
What do you mean by career risk?
Well, imagine a senior partner who just successfully raised a 10-year fund based on their traditional methods. They have literally zero incentive to blow up their entire organizational structure in year two.
Oh, right. Because if it fails, it's their head.
Exactly. If they adopt radical AI and it fails, they're fired. If they adopt it and it works, well, they just disrupted their entire professional life for a marginal gain in efficiency.
Yeah.
Their mandate is to execute the strategy they promised their LPs, not to redesign the institution from scratch.
Right. Meanwhile, the bypasser has no legacy structures to protect. They can just build the institution from the ground up to assume AI from day one.
Exactly. Rather than trying to awkwardly graft it onto an old, resistant system.
Wow.
And this dynamic creates what Achenga calls a severe asymmetry of time.
Oh, okay.
For an AI-native startup, time is the scarcest resource. The capabilities of artificial intelligence diffuse rapidly, right? Models get cheaper, new competitors emerge constantly.
Sure.
If the startup spends 2 years trapped in committee meetings, trying to persuade a legacy institution's board to buy their software, their technological edge totally erodes.
Because the incumbent can afford to sit in those meetings for 2 years.
Yes. They are still collecting their 2% management fee on billions of dollars while they deliberate.
But the startup cannot wait.
Exactly. The strategic wager Achenga proposes is that greenfield institutions, brand new blank slate firms, can adapt and deploy AI vastly faster than legacy ones.
So spending years trying to sell software to a slow-moving giant just means surrendering the only true advantage the startup has, which is velocity.
Exactly. You lose your edge.
So you bypass the giant entirely. You become the competitor because it is structurally faster than becoming the vendor.
Precisely.
Okay, this all sounds like a flawless, inevitable victory for the bypasser, but I mean, we have to look at reality here. The thought experiment includes this vital section called honest limits.
Yes, it does.
So what does this all mean in the real world? Like, where does the model actually break down?
Well, the model hits a wall when it encounters the human element.
The human element.
Yeah. The text makes it very clear that while AI can easily compress the back office and it can compress analytical functions like deal sourcing, it absolutely cannot compress institutional trust.
Because LPs are not just buying software features or low fees, they are buying fiduciary responsibility. You can walk into a pension fund manager's office with your five-person firm and your slick real-time dashboard, but the very first question they're going to ask is,
What happens to the retirement money of our teachers and firefighters if your five-person team gets hit by a bus tomorrow?
Yes, the bus factor.
Right. Winning that fiduciary trust is an intensely human, institution-heavy problem.
Navigating regulatory compliance across multiple jurisdictions, sitting in a room to build face-to-face relationships with founders, I mean, these require deep interpersonal capital.
Absolutely. Trust remains the longest pole in the tent for any first-time manager.
Yeah.
It takes years of consistent human behavior to build, and there is simply no algorithm that can bypass that requirement yet.
Which brings up a brilliant irony at the end of Achenga's piece.
Oh, the irony is great.
The very moment the bypasser successfully launches and takes capital, they step out of the shadows. They are no longer the agile observer. They instantly become the incumbent of their own new model, subject to the exact same unforgiving public scrutiny they were just studying.
They transition from the disruptor to the disrupted. They immediately become vulnerable to the next listener who is sitting on the outside looking for flaws in the bypasser's shiny new model.
So as you think about your own industry, the blueprint here is pretty clear. A tiny team uses off-the-shelf AI to treat industry complaints as literal telemetry.
Yep.
They assemble pre-built legal and operational infrastructure, layer their custom AI on top, and launch a lean firm.
And by recognizing that legacy institutions optimize for consensus rather than speed, they leverage that asymmetry of time to go directly to the legacy firm's clients,
offering a built patch for every single frustration.
It is a profound framework for structural replacement. But, you know, it does leave us with a lingering, highly provocative question, especially when we consider those honest limits surrounding human trust.
Okay, what's the question?
Well, if the one thing AI cannot compress right now is human-to-human institutional trust, what happens in a decade?
When the current generation of fund managers retires.
Exactly. What happens when a new generation of limited partners takes control of these massive endowments? We are talking about a generation that grew up expecting total data transparency and instant verification.
Oh, wow. Will the very definition of trust fundamentally shift?
Right. Right now, trust means I have a 10-year relationship with this fund manager, we play golf, and I know their track record.
Yeah, it's very personal.
But in the near future, trust might simply mean I can mathematically verify this algorithm's decisions in real time on my dashboard.
Wow.
If verifiable math replaces the need for a golf course relationship, will absolute transparency eventually subsume trust itself?
If transparency subsumes trust, then that final barrier protecting the legacy giants completely evaporates. The structural moat just vanishes.
It's definitely something to think about.
It really is. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the structures around you, because odds are someone out there is already using them as a blueprint for the bypass.